Well, welcome back to the One Hope for America podcast. I'm really excited to just hang out with my friends here for the next 30 minutes and just talk about America, talk about what God is doing, talk about some events coming up that are going to be really, really exciting. God is moving in California. And while a lot of people are bailing on this state, we're staying here, right? We're not leaving. God's moving in this state. And but we just wanted to get together and just share what is One Hope for America. These guys have been involved. This is Rory Hellert and Dave Harvey, and they've been involved with me in this journey since the beginning, pretty much. And but Rory, why don't you just share a little bit about yourself? You've been with me. We've been together for 14 years.
Yeah, 14 years now, which is crazy. Yeah. I work with Tom. I'm the youth pastor here at Bethel.
Yes, you are.
And I've been working with him since the last 14 years. It's been great.
19 years old.
19, yeah.
Interned for me.
It was awesome.
And so, yeah.
So that's me.
Such a good man.
Yes, sir.
And I'm Dave Harvey, and I have had the privilege of knowing Tom and Leslie for...
Yeah.
I think, were you guys here when we came here or just before us?
You guys were here just a couple of years before us. So, we got here in 2010.
Yeah, we just hit it off with you guys.
Yeah.
And I worked with Leslie in the School of Ministry, but mm-hmm. then just as a couple, my wife and I and you and Leslie have connected really well. And your passion for the gospel ignites me every time I am around you. Because I know that's the only hope that the world has and America has.
Come on.
Yeah,
I'm all in. I'm all in for One Hope for America.
But you and your wife, you lead the Bethel Leaders Network here, and it is just, you guys are doing a killer job resourcing pastors and encouraging them and providing a place for them to receive, you know, the goods coming out of this house.
And, we got leaders we've got leaders in the church, but leaders in every realm. So we got business people and
so good.
Healthcare professionals and educators and people in politics. Everyone wants to bring the kingdom where they live. So that's excited to lead.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, and we've had lots of conversations about different leaders around America that you could see wanting to jump onto, you know, One Hope for America event. And I think it'd be fun to just start out with just a couple of testimonies. My first One Hope for America event I did was in Phoenix, Arizona. It was just months ago. I can't even remember now. A few months ago. But 20 people got born again.
Come on.
And then there were some significant miracles. There was a girl there who had, every time she took her glasses off, she would get dizzy because she had, what was it called? I can't remember. But she had a one-year-old. You know, she had to keep her glasses on. Well, she took her glasses, prisms in the glasses, to stop her eyes from going. And so when she took her glasses off, she was totally healed. She didn't need she wasn't spinning. And then a lot of people there with nasal issues. So it was eyes and noses. So senses. I think there's something prophetic in that. The Lord's moving. So, and then we're going back to Phoenix in February.
Come on.
I went down there, met with a bunch of pastors, and they're really excited to have us come. We've got 60 BSSM students going down there.
Wow.
We're going to be flooding the streets. We have lots of churches, several churches that are inviting us in to do like their midweek service and just bring a demonstration of the kingdom of God and then to activate the church, to go for it.
Come on.
And then we're going to be doing 3 night meetings in a row, a Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night of just... Like a miracle crusade, bring the lost. We're gonna send people out on the streets, and I'm gonna do a pre-event where I go down a couple of weeks before, and we're designing a little ticket where they go out and on the streets and just invite thousands of people. And then I got a friend who's a digital marketer. He's gonna be putting that graphic on everybody's, you know, social media page.
Wow.
So that they're going to see it. They're going to see it here, and they're going to get
their account. Yeah. Awesome.
He knows how to do that with ads. He's just amazing. So, you know, the amazing thing, Mario Merla is a friend and mentor of mine, and, you know, he taught me something. He said when Billy Graham would go into a town, it wasn't just the people getting saved in the arena where it was powerful. It was everybody in the whole city was God conscious. Yeah. There was an awareness of God, like, you know,
people at work around
on the water cooler. Hey, did you hear about that event? What's going on? You know, and people are thinking about their own souls.
Come on.
You know, my dad got saved at a Billy Graham
crusade. Did he really?
And he described what broke out in Melbourne. So he got saved in the New Zealand crusade.
Wow.
Came across to the Melbourne. And he said that the Bible College in Melbourne experienced such a powerful move of God. Like literally, he said people were weeping in their rooms. Staff were getting laid out. Like there was a move of God. And the city, we have a football stadium that seats 100 and, well, sorry, it seats about just under 100,000. It's called the Melbourne Cricket Ground, the MCG, biggest football stadium in Australia. Billy Graham packed it out with 135,000. Never before has there been a crowd that big in Australia.
Amazing.
And it shook Melbourne. And Melbourne's just experiencing a revival right now. So there is a massive hunger for the truth of the gospel right now. Mm-hmm. We cannot underestimate that the earth may have been shaken for 3 years, but I tell you what, it's for a purpose. There's going to be a harvest like we haven't seen. So I'm excited about Phoenix and all these places where you're about to go.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Wow,
come on. Yeah, I'm excited.
Love that.
Yeah, go ahead. You want to say something?
No, I just love that. I mean, it's so exciting. Too. I love hearing testimonies like that. Legacy testimonies. That's what you're going after.
Yeah.
We don't. Some people think the world's really dark right now. And I think we think it's never been dark before.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like I think people think that there is we're in the worst, the world's in the worst shape, everything's in the darkest period, and it's just hopeless for the church. The church right now in Melbourne that's experiencing revival.
Yeah,
it started when a guy who came from Azusa Street was at Azusa Street here in California, and the Lord said, "You're going to go to Australia and plant a church." And he's like, "I don't want to go to Australia. I love America." He has a dream with a ship with the name on it. It was some weird name. The next day, someone walks up and gives him an envelope and says, "God told me to buy you tickets to this ship." And it's the very one he had a dream of. So he gets on the boat, ends up in New Zealand, gets to New Zealand, and there's a band waiting for him. He's looking, they're playing as he's walking down, and he's looking around going, who's here? And they said, "It's you. Welcome to New Zealand." He comes to Melbourne, and he preaches the gospel. He said every church kicked him out. Every church, and he's come from Azusa Street. He's going after miracles. Wow. He's going after healings. Every church kicked him out until one day he's praying in his room and the Lord says, "Go out into the sunshine." He stands out in the sunshine of Melbourne and he's looking up. "Well, I'm here, Lord." And then his mother-in-law comes out and says, "Hey, I was just praying. The Lord said, you got to go to sunshine." He goes, "I know, I'm in the sunshine." And she goes, no, there's a suburb of Melbourne called Sunshine. You have to go to Sunshine right now. He goes there, preaches the gospel, and the glory of God comes and revival breaks out. Maria Woodworth Edda came over. Smith Wigglesworth came over. He actually said that while he was praying, he felt this icy cold hand, a demon grab him in Melbourne, and it started to pull him into darkness. He said it was but for 2 hours of violent tongues that I broke free from this beast. But then this thing was trying to stop him from bringing revival. Wow. Maria Woodworth Edda said, "I've never encountered such spiritual darkness as I have in Melbourne, Australia." Others, Smith Wigglesworth came. Revival breaks out and he's prophesied. He said, "There will be an end time revival that will sweep the world and it will start in Melbourne and go global."
Wow.
But the cool thing is that in the darkest places, God broke out. And now 104 years later in Melbourne, that very church is in 150 days of revival outpouring. People now are flying in from around the world and around Australia. Tumors are dropping off. Cancer's being healed. Diabetes is being healed. Religious people are getting sold out and saved. And it's like we are in the moment of the greatest hope
Yes.
For the world, yes. And for America. America's not lost. It's about to see a move of God like you've never seen.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's, you know, that's really our heart. You know, I mean, we want to see God break out in America. And so it's exciting. There's a pastor in Oroville, California. His name is Scott Thompson.
Oh, I love Scott.
He's just an amazing guy.
He's amazing.
And his kids came to our youth conference, and they got rocked. And then I reached out and just said, hey, would you ever want to do an evangelistic crusade there? He said, yes. And the next day, he had 10 pastors ready to meet with me. And I'm like,
wow,
holy smokes. So there's a miracle that's happening in this little town of all these pastors that are just coming together for their community. And so we went down there, Rory and my team and the One Hope team, in December 5th, and 25 to 30 pastors were there. And I got to share my heart for One Hope for America. I'm going to share it here in just a second. And they were all just like, we're in. And so there's this momentum that's stirring right now. And it was cool. In the meeting, you know, there's a gentleman there, and he said, I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade.
Yep.
And then he got plugged into a church. And the what was amazing is that the common thread amongst a lot of those leaders was, we've seen people get saved in the past, and we weren't ready to receive the harvest.
Wow.
And we want to be ready this time. And so there is this unity that's that God is just putting in everybody. Yeah. Like, we want to be ready for it. So there is, these churches are getting ready to receive the harvest. You know, I have a core conviction that I've walked with for years. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God is not willing that any would perish.
Come on.
But that all would come to repentance.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear the word any, that means like he doesn't want anybody to die without Christ. And so, you know, when I look at a town, I think in terms of why not the whole town?
Yeah.
And so the Lord put this dream in my heart. I'd love to go into a high school, do a school assembly, and then invite everybody to the night meeting. And so I reached out to Scott, said, hey, could we get into a high school? Could you talk to the principals there? So he found the principal of a town, of one of the schools. We had a meeting set up with him. We heard as we were walking in there that, you know, he loves God, and you know, and so we sit down and I tell him what we're doing. We're doing an event. We're going to preach the gospel at night, and love to invite your kids. And so we're going to be doing a school assembly at the school.
Come on.
We're going to do.
Come on.
It's going to be pretty cool.
A school assembly, and then I'm going to have raffle tickets and be able to invite the whole school to the One Hope for America event that night. And I think they're going to want to come just because they're going to feel God. We're not going to preach the gospel in the school, but they're going to feel God.
Yeah.
And they're going to come, but we're also going to give away, like, you know, shoes.
I was going to say, the giveaways might draw them.
We're going to draw the kids in.
What are you giving away?
Xbox.
Good stuff.
PS5.
My boys will come.
but like, why can't, you know, the Bible says, can a nation be saved in a day? And so it's just like, I really believe we could see a whole town just go up in flames in revival. So
you carry such a spirit of faith, and faith comes from God.
Yeah.
And I feel like that faith is going to come on people in Oroville. Like, it came on the principal. It sounds like it's going to come on the kids. How can a nation or a city be saved in a day? God calls kids home. Yeah. God is the one who saves.
Yeah.
And I can see that's about to break out. There's a faith on you, Tom, for such a time as this. And it's coming on leaders. I can see it.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it's true. It's
so good.
So we're going to be there April this year of 2023. It's going to be exciting.
Can you share maybe a little bit more? When we were down there, Tom just shared his heart for why he even started One Hope for America.
Yeah.
And I think it's important as we are talking about this, we're on the podcast, to hear, because I was in that room. I've heard Tom for many years, and I was like, wow. I leaned over to Dante. I was like, that was awesome.
This is why I brought you here today.
Yeah, it was so good. I was like, dang.
Come on.
It was so captivating, and you could feel the buy-in, the tangible faith that was released. And so can you share your heart for One Hope for America and why you are like, this is a prophetic call, not just the name of an event.
Yeah.
Like, it's a prophetic call for something. Can you share a little bit at all on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess, I don't know, a year and a half or so ago, I was at my house and I'm looking at Instagram and all the news that was happening in America, and honestly, it was depressing. And I just, I leaned back and I prayed. I said, God, what are we going to do to see America saved? Like, I love this nation.
Yeah.
God's not done with America.
Yep, come on.
The idea of America that, you know, we can be a free people to serve the Lord and, you know, yeah. So, anyways, I'm laying there and these words hit me in the face. I don't know how else to describe it, which... I tried changing the name of the youth ministry for 5 years. You were with me.
Words
I could
don't
not,
always.
I could not find the right name.
I think I'm like Tom. I suck at names.
So I pulled a whole bunch of creatives. You were part of that together and said, well, let's change the name. I wanted to look like Revival Identity, all this stuff. And then somebody else in the room got the word Young Saints. And I'm like, we all felt the presence of God. Yes, that's it.
Wow.
So like... It was grit and grinding, trying to find the right name for that years ago. So here I am on my couch, boom, these words, I don't know how else to describe it. They just came to me, One Hope for America.
Come on.
And I'm laying there like, I've never put those words together. And so I texted a friend, what do you think this means? He said, you need to go buy that right now. So I bought it, got it on Instagram and everything. I sat there waiting, like, I don't know what this means. But so then... You know, I'm dreaming with my life. Like, God, what do I want to see with the rest of my life? You know, and it's like, I want to see nations come to Christ.
Yeah.
I want to see souls saved. I want to see the gospel proclaimed. I have a core conviction in my heart. There really is only one hope for America.
Yes.
It's not
come
just
on.
A phrase.
Come on.
It's, you know, we've tried the political thing as a nation. We've tried the putting our faith and trust and a whole bunch of stuff. Yep. That just falls short, and the kingdom of God is the only solid foundation. Everything else is going to be shaken, and we can have a political fight for the rest of our lives. It's never going to stop in this world, as long as there's strife and all that. And it's just like the answer really is found in Christ alone.
Yep.
So I began to dream about starting my own, I don't know, crusade ministry, and. Started following Mauro Murillo around all his tent crusades and just watching him mesmerized as he preaches the gospel to the lost and seeing the most broken, hurting people run to Christ and get born again.
Come on.
With miracles and signs and wonders and you know, and so just taking steps forward, you know, it was in that time that Rory became the youth pastor, right around that time. And then I'm still the overseer of Young Saints. I'm still going after a generation, but it looks different for now. It looks like I want to go after cities. I want to go after seeing pastors come together that are already unified. Like what's happening in Orville, what's happening in Phoenix.
Can you share something that you shared at the event that I feel like is pivotal for, I don't know, maybe history lesson for those who are listening of America / how God is actually... And revival has marked America already.
Yeah.
And I think that's something important because sometimes, especially in today's landscape, if you are under the age of 30, there's maybe a good chance that you have not done a lot of history on either revival or America besides through the news or through outlets that maybe aren't like sharing maybe all the facts. Can you share a little bit on when you were in Orville, you talked about the 13 colonies and what happened.
Yeah.
And it felt so significant when you said it.
Wow.
I'd love for you to hear it.
I have a passion for just revival history. I've always studied it. And then here in the last few years, American history has really just come up in my heart. So I began to study, you know, the first Great Awakening.
Yeah.
And George Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards were the two main revivalists that blazed through America. And George Whitfield was kind of the main one who went through all the colonies. At the time, 13 colonies back in the 1730s, 1740s or so. The colonies never talked to each other. They never saw each other. There was no communication between each other. And George Whitfield was the first household name to blaze a trail all through America. This revivalist that was burning. History tells us he had a voice like a foghorn, and 10, 20,000 people would gather.
Wow.
And he would just preach the gospel, and thousands were coming to Christ. And his message was simple. You must be born again.
Yep. Yeah.
And he taught that you have to have this experience with God where you know your sins are forgiven.
You have to have an experience with God.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just say a prayer.
Yeah. Just, it's just like you have to have this encounter with God. So he was bringing thousands into this encounter, and people were breaking away from what was called the old lights, which was, you know, we'd say religion, and into this new, fresh experience of life.
Come on.
And so it was revival blazing through America. And what it actually did, historians say, is it broke the colonies free from a monarchy mindset.
Wow.
To look to a man to tell them what to do with their lives.
Yeah.
And a king. And it brought them to a place of independent freedom to actually look to God for themselves.
Wow.
And historians also say from that, had it not been for the Great Awakening, they would not have been ready to stand in the American Revolution.
Wow.
Because their hearts were now galvanized together. That's something only God can do.
Yeah.
So good.
It's safe to say, had it not been for the first Great Awakening, we wouldn't have been able to stand in the American Revolution. So it's like, would America exist outside of revival?
Wow.
No.
No.
And so you also look at, there's other things I've been studying. I just, Charles Finney in the Second Great Awakening, slave owners would come to his meetings and he refused to give them communion. He preached against slavery as a revivalist in the Second Great Awakening.
Do they teach that in history classes?
I doubt it. I've not heard it. You got to search.
I've never heard it. You got to really search.
You can Google it right now. You'll see it. And Charles Finney was a savage when it came to standing against things of unrighteousness.
Yeah.
You know, you can trace a lot of things back to revival. I just found out the other day, through a prophetic word, I began to search. Somebody told me they saw the Battle Hymn of the Republic as being a song for us. So,
yeah.
So I just searched it up. You know, I love history. So I looked at, how did this song come about? In 1861, a lady, long story short, who was against slavery, she wrote this song, and it was a song putting an axe at the root of slavery.
Wow.
And, you know, we sing this in schools. When you sing it, it's like a worship song.
Yeah.
His truth is marching on. It's a patriotic song, but like this was a song that was putting the axe at the root of slavery.
Wow.
And the Union, the North, would sing it. It became a song for the North throughout the Civil War.
Wild.
And so it's like when you look at history, you know, there really is only one hope for America.
Yeah,
and God is doing it again. Yep. He's not willing that any nation would perish.
No.
Okay, but there's a purpose and a plan, I believe, for every nation to manifest the character of God, not one nation has it all. But I do believe, and I'm an American, God's called me here. I do believe America's greatest days are in front of us, not behind us. And when we look at the prophetic history on this nation, it prophesies something great for our future.
Yeah.
That you know, we've got to get back to declaring and proclaiming what the Lord wants to do in our nation.
Yeah.
And when you see all the craziness that's happening, you know, from the confusion, it's so demonic, different things that are happening to kids today and what's happening in, you know, the redefinition of family and all that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how do we combat this? I believe it's going to start by changing hearts.
Yeah. I love that you highlighted you must be born again.
Yep.
And that simple gospel, like you said, Rory, then that is what the next generation needs.
Yeah.
That, it's not you need to, you know, go to college and learn all this or go to Bible college. You need an experience where God changes you into another man, another woman, another.
Yep.
And that's what's going to sweep Oroville. That's what's going to sweep every city where the gospel's proclaimed. And I want to just say this. One of our leaders, he's just joined the Bethel Leaders Network. He's an incredible guy. One of our BSSM one day went out there last year with Leslie, and he said, "Dave, we've stopped talking about, you know, just bring your friend to church or that." He said, "The Lord spoke to us and says, everyone in this city is important. 100% of our city must be saved." And it was like he said, it shifted something in the people where everyone now they come in contact with must be born again. Everyone needs to hear the good news that Jesus died for them and can make them into the best version of themselves if they give their lives to him. And it's just, I've never heard a pastor with that much faith.
Come on.
And that's what's igniting through One Hope for America. I love it.
Yeah, it's excellent.
That's so good. I love that. Why does it feel significant even this gathering in Oroville, Phoenix, the future places, why does it feel like this strategy of gathering pastors and leaders for a regional event, why does that feel strategic? What about that is you going, man, this is the vehicle that God is actually using and this is what we're seeing?
Yeah, totally. It's a great, great question. So I believe in the local church.
Yeah.
I have cut me open. The local church will come out. I've always served God in context of the local church. I don't believe the local church is the savior. No church died on the cross for my sin.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the savior of the world. Okay. Yeah. But the bride is important to him. And I believe that in order for people to come to know Christ, it's got to be in context of the local church. And so when I look at what God wants to do in America, it's not independent of the local church. It's in arms with the local church.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see pastors coming together in unity. I mean, that's going to be the first miracle. And what's happening in Oroville is just part of that.
Yep.
Where pastors are coming together, laying down their differences, you know, and it's almost like with what's happening in America right now, I feel like pastors are like going, okay,
we need each other.
We need each other.
Yeah.
We got to get together. And I think it's happening all across America. Yeah. There are so many great men and women of God in this nation that have the same cry, that want to see God move. And so I believe people getting saved, encountering God, and then right there, altar workers and people that are connected to the local church lead people to Christ, and then they follow up. There's a connection that happens. You know, there's been this, I don't know what to call it, a tug, a push and pull in the church for years that, well, it's, you know, it's not about the big event. It's about the small group or whatnot. And I'd like to say it's not either or, it's both and.
Yep.
It's true. I have the statistics. 70 to 90% of people who get saved come through a friend or family member. But an event where it's anointed and it is a sword in the atmosphere that proclaims Christ alone with miracles, signs, and wonders is the perfect event to bring a friend to get saved.
Yeah.
And so where the gospel can be preached. Pastors, I want to tell you right now, if there is something in the back of your mind going, it's not about people preaching. It's not about, well, then read Romans chapter 10. The bottom line is the gospel must be proclaimed.
Yeah.
There is the gift of an evangelist in the church that proclaims the gospel and equips the body to go do the same.
Yeah.
And so, seeing people get saved in context of the local church is really what's in my heart.
Yeah, it's great. One of the things I love, just because I think it's important to note, sometimes when people come in and they're doing big events in the city, they're not thinking of using the church in that city. And so I love the difference of this is going, the altar workers are actually coming from the churches that live in that city. Because otherwise, you have somebody rolls in, blows it up, and then you're like, great, thank you for doing this, and nothing happens because it's disorganized and you lose it. And it's that strategy of like, we got to make sure the net is not broken.
Yes.
But it's strong, and a net has to be woven together from a variety of places. Mm-hmm. And so, I just love that strategy. And I think it also diminishes walls that a lot of churches can feel like, wait, are you coming in and taking people? Actually, no, we're coming in as a catalyst that, breaks something open for you guys to actually do the small group stuff, to walk out daily discipleship. And
Can I ask a question? How does this work practically? Like, how did it start in Oroville?
Mm-hmm.
We have BLN churches all around America that are chomping at the bit. They want to bring... The theme we're getting at the moment is regional revival.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to save cities, wants to save regions.
Yep.
How does it work in Oroville? How can leaders start to dream, pray, and partner with One Hope for America?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, what I'm seeing Scott Thompson do in Oroville is really a great example of that. I mean, you've got all these pastors that have been unified for years that just have been praying for revival, that want to see something like this happen. And, you know, we got together, we had a breakfast or a lunch, and I got to share my heart for it. And then we went downtown in the city, we found their convention center, looked at the dates, It's all working out. We're going to rent a convention center, seats about 1,000 people.
Come on.
And practically, I'm going to be going down there, you know, and equipping their altar workers. We're going to be having some pre-event rallies and gearing towards this event and building towards.
Is there a way for, like, right now, say a BLN leader or and not even a BLN leader, another senior pastor is listening to this and he's like, oh my gosh, I have four or five churches that we gather for, you know, pastor's breakfast once a month and we would love to reach out. What's that process?
Yeah.
How do you get a hold of you?
So they can email me.
I was going to say, are we giving out your number on this podcast? Is that about to be the thing?
I'll give it out right now.
We should do, I could do this
you
live.
You can email me at dave.harvey.
I don't read my email, so I'm fine with that.
How can we, is there a spot on my website?
You can go to One Hope for America and the contact page. There's a contact page.
Okay.
Great. So One Hope for America website, and that is one, like,
Number one, hope for America. If you're watching this podcast, you're America. Probably there. There's a contact page. You can just email us.
You just reach out. It'll get to the right place.
Yep.
It's great.
I love it. And so, and even so, the events will happen. Do things happen after the events? Like, are you... I love that you're going and training their people. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's probably one of the greatest things is helping their people to know how to disciple and know how to walk people.
And let me hit that really, really quick on something.
Yeah.
Okay. Evangelism is in a rebranding stage right now in America.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when they hear the word evangelism, they need deliverance from their last encounter of training from evangelism. And they also feel like, I'm not crazy enough. I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not about being crazy.
So funny.
Evangelism is not a style. It's not a volume.
Yeah.
It's not a hairdo. It's not a platform. It's a grace released from a person's heart that's fiery.
Yeah.
And it's because it's so full of love, God's love for the lost, and it draws them to the Father.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to be loud to be an evangelist. You just, you know, and the Bible is clear. God wants all of us to be evangelistic, just like he wants all of us to be prophetic and apostolic. And so, you know, evangelism is not about methods, methodology, and all that. It's about overflow.
Come on.
It's about overflow. And so my passion is to help people breathe and quit stressing and white-knuckling it. Like, I got to go talk to that stranger and I'm going to get killed, you know. But instead, to rest in their relationship with God, that they're in union with Christ. Christ is inside of them. The Holy Spirit is the greatest evangelist. And it's amazing. The fire of God's around you. He goes before us, and he prepares divine appointments. And so I want to teach people how to partner with the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful.
To release the gospel through their story, through signs and wonders. And signs and wonders are really practical. They're not mystical and crazy. It's just like all of a sudden you begin to get this thought about somebody. Hey, do you have headaches right now? You know, and it's just like all of a sudden it breaks doors open. And the average believer, God is calling you to walk in this kind of power. And so I want to equip the average everyday believer to go, because you're going to go, you know, at school or at work in places. Dave and I, Rory and I, will never go. Yeah. And we want to equip you to go do that. So that's my passion, is equip churches to learn how to overflow.
I love, like, even your story.
Yeah.
Was a man coming to
work.
Yeah, your work, a festival.
In Salt Lake City,
and overflowing.
Utah. He was overflowing. He was burning. Yeah.
I'd love to share that testimony, because it's something in your testimony releases faith for even people watching right now. Because today, every one of us, the Holy Spirit wants to bump us into someone to overflow. Like, because your testimony's what's going to happen globally.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Salt Lake City, Utah. And here I am, I'm at work, I'm 17 years old, I'm not walking with God, and less than 1% of the population is actually born again. So, I mean, to have somebody bump into you and preach the gospel is...
divine appointment.
You must be loved.
Yeah, totally, by God. My mom was praying for me. And this guy, you know, my work was called Sports Park, and it was just go-karts, you know, and putt-putt golf and like that kind of stuff. And usually there's tons of people there. Well, this day in the afternoon, I was the only one out there. And I'm working on the park, and all of a sudden this man walked out to the park with his two kids. And I'm like, so I put him, his kids on this little go-kart track, and they're just sitting there doing circles. And I said to him, so where are you from? You know, and it's just like I often say, the Lord sets you up for things. And he's setting people up in your city right now.
Come on.
And he said, oh, I'm from Seattle. And, you know, I was smoking pot at the time and doing stupid, crazy stuff. And I said, oh, I heard there's a bad drug problem there. Like, why would I care? I don't even know why it came out of my mouth. And he goes, yep. I used to do cocaine for about 9 years, and then I quit. And then I have somebody in my life who I'd call her like a half-sister. I said, oh, yeah, I got like a sister. She did cocaine for 9 years, too, and then she got saved. It came out of my mouth. I was not walking with God.
Wow.
And he goes, saved? You mean saved? You're a brother, man? And I'm like, just looking at him, and he goes, me too. I'm a warrior for Christ. Everywhere I go, I preach the gospel. Jesus is alive. He set me free. And I'm sitting there like, wow. Cool.
I so hope this guy hears this podcast.
I sure do too.
Come on.
And
I would love to meet this guy.
I would too, man. I'd hug him.
Awesome.
And he starts just burning in front of me. Now, on the outside, I'm as cool as a cucumber. I'm like, totally cool. But on the inside, it's like, you know, a blowtorch on Gumby's head. I'm melting. And, you know,
I love it.
And I said to him, you know, I got a girlfriend who's Mormon, and I'm thinking about getting the Book of Mormon and reading it so I can prove to her that it's wrong. And he goes, why would you try to find the truth in a lie? And I was like, and he said, Jesus said, I'll never forget this day. He said, Jesus said, broad and wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many will go there. But narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life.
Oh.
You need to seek the narrow gate, son. Narrow is the gate, many will seek it, but only few will find. You need to seek the narrow gate. And I was like, okay. He gets his kids off the track. He walks away. This was like a six, seven-minute conversation. He walks away. I'll never forget. I went to open the gate and to leave. And in my mind's eye, I remember seeing like a white flame and something inside of me leapt. And I said these words, Dave, I knew it was real.
Come on.
And
so good.
And I walked away. And it was just like, God sent a man to me that day. And I'd like to say that I shouted, what must I do to be saved, and dropped onto my knees. But it didn't happen. It was in my journey of coming back to Christ.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Lord sent a man. And to this day, here's what's crazy, is he has no idea how much he changed my life in 7 minutes.
And no idea how many lives he's going to affect because he burned in front of you.
Yeah.
Do you know, this is the fastest growing church right now is in Iran, and it's just this.
Yes.
It's believers as they go about their day being someone's highlighted to them and they just release their burn in front of them. They release the hope.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was about to kill myself and Jesus saved me, and they say it to someone
and then
God saves that person. It's not through having the right words or the right technique or the right, they just burn in front of them in whatever way that looks.
Yeah.
And God saves people.
Yeah.
So good.
I think we make it so hard sometimes.
I think so too.
Oh, I love it, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm getting on fire.
If we can remove the bad mindsets in people's, and just, I mean, the evangelist already lives inside of them, whether they're an evangelist or not.
Well, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is just, there's been such an assault on the evangelistic, and you have to realize, I'm like, it's a demonic assault because it gets people to spiritualize the dysfunction that says, oh, I'm afraid, so I'm going to spiritualize, I'm not trained enough, I'm not this gift mix,
I'm not all this.
And I'm like, and it's a total assault from the enemy to get the church to believe, oh, there's other people that do that, and I feel spiritual doing this. And God didn't ask us to feel spiritual in the things we feel comfortable in.
Come on, Rory.
And there's this, so like, kind of, I don't know, shift coming. You can feel it that goes, fear got really exposed 3 years ago because it's about to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Whenever the Lord exposes something, he deals with it. Good. And so it's not a surprise that the world would have fear grip and be exposed at such a high level in the church.
Yeah.
that the Lord is coming in and he's about to deal with that spirit that has actually been assaulting the world.
Yeah.
And I think that the opposite of this is the grace of the evangelist is rising to realize the church is supposed to move in evangelism because it's just the heart of God for people. I think that's what's hard is that you're telling me you don't want to carry the heart of God for people to get saved. And every person would go, no, I want that.
Yeah.
And you're like, exactly.
Right.
This is in every one of us. It's already in us.
Yep.
The thing that's causing you to want to retreat is another kingdom that is trying to stop you from being who God has called you to be.
So good.
So anyways,
and you're saying this is somebody who's not an evangelist.
Yeah, so. I lean way more towards the prophetic and the pastoral graces on my life, but that doesn't mean I don't see kids get saved and I lead them to Jesus. Like I pull on Tom's grace for altar calls. I just make sure I do it the way I'm wired, but I pull on the grace and his heart to go, oh, I need to be reading these verses.
Yeah.
We need to be going after this. Anyways, we're a little over time, but super good. Love all of this.
Any questions we needed? Anything we need to admit we didn't?
You know, one thing that I just want to make sure we re-say, because at the end of a podcast, it's nice to just re-say it.
Yeah.
If you are, whether you're a leader, a senior pastor, or you are just somebody going, I burn for my city.
Yeah.
We'd love for you to reach out on onehopeforamerica.com and just let us know who you are. How do you want to be a part of the movement? Sometimes even just saying, I want to start praying in my city that there would just be people that go ahead. This is what happens as people start praying for God to move in their region. There's already so many people that are doing that.
Yeah.
That, man, the Lord is after.
There are three ways you can get involved right now.
He's got three ways. Let's go. Come
on. One, pray.
Yeah.
Do not underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer moves things in the heavens, and it changes us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Number two, you can be a part of one of our events, okay? So you can look at what's coming up in Phoenix. You can come to Oroville.
If you're in Northern or Middle California, come to Oroville.
Come to Oroville.
That's a good idea. You. Come and see it. Come and taste it.
It'd be super fun.
Yeah. And hit the streets and be a part of the army of God that's going to go out and bring the kingdom there.
Come on.
And see what God's going to do. And number three is give. It takes money to win souls.
Yeah.
And we need funds. God's blessed us. We're not begging nobody, but if you want to be a part of what God's doing, you need to give because this is going to benefit.
It's sowing into revival
in
America.
Exactly.
That's what it is. You're sowing into something bigger.
Yeah.
It's great.
And you can do that right on the website. Go to One Hope for America. And there's a link that says give, and you can give either a one-time gift or become a monthly partner to support what God is doing.
Super I love good. It. I feel like there's been groups of pastors that have been gathering and praying for a long time. And it's almost like this now, One Hope for America, is a nudge from the Lord to say, now let's put some action.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put some faith. Faith actually requires a stepping out of the boat.
Mm.
Let's put some action behind your prayers and let's have a crack for Jesus. Let's just see how powerful the gospel is.
For Jesus.
So that's a bit Australian, but honestly, it'll work. It'll work. Get out of the boat.
Yeah.
Contact One Hope for America and see the fruit of your prayers. You guys have been faithful and praying for so long, but God wants to put your people out there through the ease of the Holy Spirit, just see people saved, delivered.
Come on.
The church is about to expand like we've never seen before.
That's right.
I love it. Yep. Thank you, Tom, for what you're doing. I mean this.
Yeah.
Thank you for not changing the subject from the simple gospel.
Yeah, for sure. It's my pleasure. Thanks for being on, guys.
All right.